Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
The college football experience, Wisconsin Badgers against the Notre Dame Fighting Irish, betting preview episode on the Sports Gambling Podcast Network, presented by WynnBET. WynnBET is now live in Colorado, Indiana, Michigan, New Jersey, Tennessee, Virginia, and Arizona. From boosted parlays to in-game odds on every major sport, WynnBET has what you need to win. Sign up today to receive a $1,000 risk-free sports bet. Download the WynnBET app now or visit WynnBET.com. That's WynnBET.com and start winning today. We're also brought to you by PropSwap, America's number one app to buy and sell sports bets. Use promo code SGP on your first deposit and receive up to $500 in bonus cash. That's PropSwap.com, promo code SGP. We're also brought to you by PicksWise. PicksWise is the number one app for free sports betting picks, props, and parlays. Download the free PicksWise app now to make your next bet better. We're also brought to you by OddsCrowd. Are you the best football bettor in the U.S.? OddsCrowd challenges you to prove it with their free-to-play fantasy betting contest. Every week, there's a free $350 NFL contest and a free $250 contest. Just head to oddscrowd.com to sign up. And of course, don't forget to download the SGPN app, your home for all of our free picks and podcasts. Grab that SGPN app for free in the App Store or Google Play Store today.
Hey everybody, Joe Theismann here. You're listening to SGPN. So do this, let it ride.
Welcome to the college football experience. Wisconsin Badgers against the Notre Dame Fighting Irish betting preview episode. My name is Kobe, swinging Dantabase Dan, aka Pick Dundee. That's not a pick. This is a pick. Let's go. And we are talking someone. I would assume this would be a rivalry game, but it's not. But I did bring on a guest to talk this game, contributor over at SGPN. I mean, just he's on many episodes of the College Football Experience and College Basketball Experience. Covers college football, covers college basketball and other sports as good as any, I would say. Give it up for my guy Terrell Furman Jr. How you doing, Terrell?
What's up, man? I'm excited to tack. It is kind of is a rivalry, you would think, but you know, I think with Notre Dame being the independent they are, they just have like independent rivalries with a whole bunch of people.
Yeah, just a whole bunch. But hold on, let me get your music introduction. Terrell Furman, handicapping college football, college basketball games at a very high rate. So you better believe this is proper.
Oh. Yep. That's it. I love it.
Right. Get
putting the cash in your pocket.
Exactly. So yeah, actually, like, it's funny doing the homework for this episode. They have not played since September 26th, 1964.
Dang.
That's wild.
That's almost to the day. September 25th is when this game is going off. So quick math, doing math in public for people, that is what you said, 64? So yeah, that's like 56 years to the day.
That's just some wild. I can't believe
66.
I can't believe though that they're not that, you know, the proximity wise, they're not that far away. That's pretty, I was assuming, you know, maybe, you know, 90s, 80s maybe, but That's a long, long time ago. So from a rivalry factory or factor, not a factory, but I don't
57. I'm so bad at math. It was 57.
I didn't do what, dude, you did better than me. I just punted. I was like, dude, that you hit me with some arithmetic here
about the whole time. I'm like, wait, that isn't right. That isn't right.
No, you're good, man. Yeah, this rivalry, the last time they played, Notre Dame won 31-7. I mean, Barry Alvarez, the athletic director of Wisconsin, and really the guy that put Wisconsin football on the map, was a Notre Dame defensive coordinator a long, long time ago. So ties between the program in a way, but these teams have also only played 16 times in their history. Notre Dame is 8-6-2. I don't know. I don't think any of that means anything for this matchup, really. I mean, if it would have been a year ago or 5 years ago, maybe you could try to spin it some way. It's being played at Soldier Field. I hate these neutral site games, but I will say, you know, Soldier Field is Soldier Field. I know your opinion on this. Terrell Furman Jr., a supporter of warm climate games, you know?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Why am I paying money to go freeze my ass off? I don't understand at all. I'm not paying money to go. I love football as much as the next person, but I'm not paying money to go freeze my ass off. I'm very much good. I can catch it on the TV, those games.
There you go.
Or invite me into the box. I'll sit in the box for that one.
There you go. See, I say, give me the whole experience. You know what I mean? But look, you know, yeah, agree to disagree here. That's the good part about the world. All right, we can disagree. We'll see if we disagree on the real thing, which is making you money. Here we are. Notre Dame is undefeated. They're 3-0. It's in a way, it's kind of been miraculous that they're 3-0 because
surprising. Yeah,
yeah. I mean, they blow an 18-point lead against Florida State in the home opener. Florida State is winless. Took care of business in overtime, got the dub there. Then they come back to South Bend, take on a Toledo team that just lost to Colorado State in Toledo. And they barely escaped with the win. They were losing that game with like a minute and a half left.
Yep.
And then they come and play Purdue, and there's the whole little brother factor. And I think me and you were both on Purdue. Notre Dame got it done.
I thought Purdue was going to get them there. I thought that was a great spot to buy. And I've kind of been looking to fade this Notre Dame team, and just because when you look at the eye test and look at this team, they don't look like one of the top teams in the country at all. And so I was just kind of looking and waiting, like, all right, where can we get a good spot to fade this team and get some real value? And I thought Purdue was it.
Yeah. I mean, I thought that was, I mean, especially getting like, I think it was like 8 points or whatever that number was.
7.5.
Yeah. I felt good about it. I thought, hey, it'd be a close game, but you know, Notre Dame figured out a way to do it and really just kind of beat Purdue. I was actually impressed with that was the first game where Marcus Freeman's defense started to impress me. Cause I look, and I was really bullish on the hire of Marcus Freeman, but his philosophy is a lot different than their former defensive coordinator, Clark Lee. He will get after the court. He will take way more chances, way more aggressive as a play caller defensively, sending blitzes, putting his players on islands essentially. And I'm okay with that. But Clark Lee was the opposite of that. He was pretty like, no, we'll rush our four and drop back and you know, try to confuse you in little ways. But Marcus Freeman really struggled the first two games, and I thought he made his statement against Purdue of like, okay, this is the Marcus Freeman that I was expecting in mm-hmm. South Bend. You look at the quarterback. Now this is an interesting angle here. Well, first off,
it's a great angle. A great angle.
Yeah, yeah. First off, you got Chicago. From what I understand, I did a preview episode with some Notre Dame fan, two different ones, season preview episodes, and also a Wisconsin one, and they all agreed that Notre Dame would have the fan edge in Chicago.
I think so. Chicago's not that far. So I think it's like 2 hours from South Bend, something like that. But it's not that far from Wisconsin either. I've been on a family reunion trip in Wisconsin, and we bust down to Chicago for a day. So I mean, it's not too far from Wisconsin either. I think that their fans are going to show up too. It's not going to be empty for them.
Yeah, I think what they were saying, I mean, was that I guess a lot of Notre Dame fans live in Chicago already. So maybe that's an easier ticket. I don't know. I kind of thought it would be 50-50 ahead of time, but after hosting those podcasts, I was like, oh, okay. Even the Wisconsin fans are saying it's going to be more Notre Dame, but yeah.
It probably will be. It'll probably feel a little bit closer to a Notre Dame home game than for Wisconsin, but I still think that they'll have a pretty decent sized section.
Yeah, I would agree. Jack Cohn, the quarterback of Notre Dame, he's actually impressed me through the 3 weeks so far because he's a transfer, a grad transfer from Wisconsin. And if there's a guy with a chip on his shoulder, yes, he was out for the year last year at Wisconsin, but they were pushing to start Graham Mertz. So if there's a guy with a chip on his shoulder, I feel like we should definitely circle that in this game, but he was a game manager at Wisconsin. He comes to Notre Dame. I've been impressed with his play. He's 63% completion percentage. I think this is one of the more telling things. 8.4 yards a completion, 8 touchdowns, 2 picks. That didn't happen at Wisconsin. I mean, yes, no. I get it. I should say like the completion percentage was even better at Wisconsin, but a lot of that is because Wisconsin's run sets up the pass. I feel like Cohn has been a much better version of himself, as a quarterback at Notre Dame, and that's maybe Brian Kelly, than I ever saw at Wisconsin. And maybe that's Florida State's defense and Toledo's and Purdue's. Perhaps. I don't know. We will see this game. Notre Dame's offense, they were replacing 4 offensive linemen coming into the season, and that's kind of been the issue.
Yeah.
We all penciled them in as like, oh, well, this is an offensive line factory, which it has been in like the past 7 or 8 years. However, they have struggled a little bit on the offensive line. I think that is some of the problems, but Kyren Williams, I'm a huge fan of Kyren Williams. I think he's a great running back. Love the way he picks up the blitz. He only has 211 yards rushing over 3 games. So that's not necessarily killing it. And if you go back to, the year before, Notre Dame was having a lot more success on the ground.
And that's not what you want to do, especially coming into sending Jack Cohn to a school that knows him and knows his tendencies and knows who he is throwing the football. It wasn't like this guy was only there for a year and transferred out. This guy started a number of games for them.
Yeah.
And they know his identity as a quarterback. They know how to play him. And I think that's going to be a better angle than looking at the Jack Cohn revenge game. Oh, they wanted to get me out of here for Graham Mertz. It's the fact that this defense knows him too. They know how he ticked too. If he likes to hold the ball for a certain amount of time, and when that timer goes off in his head, just let it fly. They know, hey, I'm jumping this route here, or I'm doing this. They understand how he works. And so that's what's going to make this interesting here. How does Wisconsin's defense, who is pretty good still, respond to Jack Cohn slinging the ball around? Because have they necessarily seen it to that extent when he was at Wisconsin? No, because Wisconsin runs the football and just needs a game manager at quarterback. But can they exploit that? Absolutely.
Yeah, and I even think Wisconsin's got a stud tight end in Ferguson, and they practice against them all the time. Now, obviously, I know Brian Kelly's offense is different than what Wisconsin's doing, but Michael Meyer, the tight end of Notre Dame, he's a stud. He's the leader from a yardage standpoint, receiving wise, and receptions by far at Notre Dame. So in a way, you got to think Wisconsin practices day in, day out against one of the best tight ends in the country. And so they're playing one. I think that favors them once again. And if Notre Dame, I think if they're going to win this game, they're going to need someone to step up at the wide receiver spot, because Kyren Williams is second on the team in reception. So you got to go to the 4th and 5th player receiving wise that to find the wideouts with reception. So essentially like this, Michael Meyer's the top receiver for Notre Dame, 17 receptions. Then Kyren Williams at 11.
They knew what they was doing.
Then Chris Tyree at 10. Exactly. Shout out to it's October. No, it's not October yet. I was gonna say, but Chris Tyree, their other running back. So these receivers have. I know they're young, I don't mean to blast them too much, but I think they might be key. And if they're going to be able to look at the Penn State game, Penn State really struggled, especially in the first half, but once they were able to go play action and Penn State wasn't getting a lot of yards per rush. So once they were able to find their skill position, especially at the wide receiver spot, Penn State was able to essentially steal that game. I thought, because another thing is And I guess on the reverse side of this, we should talk Graham Mertz, because even when we were in Vegas, man, I took Wisconsin minus 26 against Eastern Michigan, and I barely won that game. And a lot, I mean, Wisconsin only gave up 93 yards of offense that game, but Graham Mertz, once again, making these mistakes in the red zone, just killer mistakes.
Yeah.
That was that was exactly what happened in the Penn State game. And if you look, I think that is something that really is the glaring weakness. Yes, is he skilled? He's young. I see the potential that everyone sees, but still hasn't thrown a passing touchdown on the season. You know, he's completing 67% of his passes, but only 6 yards of completion. That means he's checking down, dumping the ball off, and then when he is, you know, in a spot to score, he's turned the ball over, and that can't happen in this game if Wisconsin wants to win that game.
And when we start to talk about chips on your shoulder, like Graham Mertz has to have a little bit of a chip on his shoulder too. Like, you know, I can't imagine what their relationship is like, but Graham Mertz has to think, all right, like, you know, they handed me the keys over to this organization. Like, you know, this is the guy I took the organization away from. This is a 3-year, 4-year starter here. So I need to show him and show everybody, you know, Badgers and all, like, hey, they made the right decision in me. I know it's been a rough start to the season so far, but I'm coming out here. I'm ready to ball, and we're going to pick apart, you know, this Notre Dame defense that contains one of the top picks of the draft next year. So I don't expect him to do too much. I don't expect him to come out here and just drop a 3-touchdown, 4-touchdown game or anything like that, but because they just, you know, rely on those running backs, and especially that stud Clemson transfer that has been just straight money this year so far.
Yeah.
Malusky, like, he's absolutely a dog. And so I expect them to lean on him and lean on the other two running backs that they have as well. And, you know, when he gets his opportunity, he's going to pick them apart and move the chains.
Yeah. And, you know, I think I want to hit on this point offensively. If you look at what they're getting yards per game, yards per play, the Badgers, granted, Wisconsin's only played two. Notre Dame's played three games, but Wisconsin's charting at 37th best offense. The problem has been really scoring. They've gotten down the field. They just, based on the yards they've putting up, they should have more points. Yeah. You know, two games in, they have 441 yards per game, and you're thinking, hey, that's pretty damn good for Wisconsin. So maybe if they can capitalize off that. Now Notre Dame on the other side of this, Notre Dame is a bit further back, surprisingly, because you say, well, they played a Florida State team. Granted, it was on nationally televised game, and then they played a MAC school, and then they played Purdue, which isn't known for their defense. They're charting at 73rd. With 407 yards per game, just 5.8 yards per play. And then defensively, and this is where I think if you're just looking into the stats, then you got to be all over Wisconsin, because Wisconsin got the number two defense in the country. They only give up 194 yards per game.
And they had 2 weeks to prepare for this game.
Yeah. Yeah. And Notre Dame, way back, I believe, let me just double check this here. Yeah. It's 78th. At 378 yards per game. So if you're just blindly looking at the statistics, I think you say, oh, well, I gotta take Wisconsin. But the question is, I mean, Wisconsin from a stand, like if you were to watch that Penn State game again and not look at the score, you would think Wisconsin would have won that game. They didn't. Mm-hmm. They turned the ball over in key spots. I mean, Penn State only had like, I feel like 10 yards or something, one first down or something at halftime. They were only up, I think, I forget the exact score, but they should have been up by more points than what they were up, based off of what they were allowing yardage wise and what they were getting yardage wise. You can't do that against good football teams, and Notre Dame is a decent football team. The line, Terrell, is at, it's actually gone up. Wisconsin getting some of that money. I'm seeing it at 6.5 right now.
Oh, really?
And I'm seeing it from a couple different spots. Does that sway perhaps? Were you perhaps leaning Wisconsin? But at what point do you say, well, that's a lot of points, because Wisconsin tends to just win ugly. They're kind of like Iowa.
Yeah. Yeah. A little bit. 6.5 is a little bit of a stretch, but I feel like if I liked it at 5.5, I still like it at 6.5. It didn't cross that key number of 7 yet that would make me, you know, think twice about it. So I still like, if this goes into overtime, that kind of messes this up a little bit, kind of gives you a little bit of a sweat there. But I still like it going up to 7. I think once it hits 7, then I'm going to start to consider Notre Dame a little bit more. I just don't think Notre Dame has anything for this Wisconsin defense. I think Wisconsin defense is going to shut down Notre Dame. And if they cannot run the ball and that offensive line is not put together, it's going to be an extremely long day for them. And I can just see the defense playing well, Wisconsin being able to run the ball. Graham Mertz looks okay. He probably goes like some 17 for 20 passing, 15 for 20 passing, not a bunch of pass attempts, but he's super efficient with it. And I could see them running away with this game and having a very, very good day. Just a huge bunch of explosive runs from these three, this trifecta of running backs that they have. So I like Wisconsin here, and I'll take them at 6.5.
Nice, nice. Notre Dame, by the way, the over-under is at 46.5. They're plus 190 on the money line currently. I think it's too many points. I get all those reasons when we break down the stats. I get it. Like, I think Wisconsin is probably going to be the team that wins this football game, especially getting the week to prep for it. But I do worry about a couple things. I worry about, can Graham Mertz finish these drives? I worry about Brian Kelly just being a flat out better coach than Paul Christ. And I think 6.5 is a bit too much. I think this is going to be about a 27 or 21-17 game, something like that. I'm going to take the 6.5. I don't love the play, but I just think if it was like 3.5, I would really hate the play. But I think 6.5, I think I just got to trust the Irish, because Wisconsin, even when they win these games, I feel like within the Big Ten, and you know, they'll, or that LSU game, I don't remember that score, but I feel like that was like a 4-point game. I just feel like they win ugly. So give me Notre Dame plus the 6.5. Let me ask you this. If you're going to lean over or under, are you on the under here at 46.5?
Yeah, I'm on under.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Me too.
It's a very low total, and that's scary for college football, but I'm on the under here. I think that this definitely can be like a 17-10, like 21-10 type of final score, something around there. It's not going to be a lot of offense. And at Soldier Field, it could, you know, have the looks of a quote unquote boring game.
Yeah. I'll tell you this, man, whoever, you know, we know Wisconsin has the better defense yardage wise, but we also know Mertz has been able to throw the ball, turn the ball over often. I'm going to say the team that wins this game is going to have a turnover. And if there's one, if like, if we turn on the TV Saturday, you know, at noon on the East, and we see, an early strip sack return for a touchdown, I think a play like that happens, the team that does that is winning the game.
Yep. Absolutely.
And obviously
special
that would
teams, yeah, defense, special teams, you know, those, that third phase of the football game is really going to be huge here, because that's going to set up something big.
Yeah, definitely. And then like, and I guess you'd have to favor Wisconsin on that, but I just feel like minus 6.5. I don't know. I just feel like it's kind of a dog fight. We'll see. We'll see. Give me the Irish. I know you faded the Irish as I did a week ago. Brian Kelly might make a fool out of you, but I don't know. I mean, I faded them. I faded them. Actually, I'm 0-3 ATS handicapping the Irish.
Yeah, I think I'm about the same. I think I'm about, I might have been on them in that Toledo game. So, well, no, that was still lose. They lost that bet too. So yeah, I think I'm 0-3 with them too. So hey, it's time.
One of us is going to be right.
Tide turn. Yeah. It's time for the tide to turn. Somebody's going to break it. So
it's easy to see a tide turn.
There we go.
I think, no, but I think this is a good one. I just think Notre Dame is not Notre Dame of last year. And I think that they are getting too much credit at this point. Granted, Wisconsin probably getting a little bit too much credit in their own right. But they did have a really good game against Penn State, who looks like they're a really, really good team this year. So that's, you know, something for the schedule. Even though they ended up lost that game, they were in that game for the majority of the game. And I don't know if Notre Dame can go toe-to-toe with Penn State like Wisconsin can. So I'm just going to bank on that I'm right and Wisconsin is the better football team and should probably be ranked higher.
I think I might even agree with you on that. I'm just siding with the fact Wisconsin wins ugly.
Yeah.
All right. So there we go, folks. Guys, if you're a first time listener to the College Football Experience, make sure you subscribe. We handicap every single Division One college football game. We've been doing it for a few years now. Never had a losing season picking these things. So check that out. Also check out the College Basketball Experience. You know, Wisconsin kind of had a crazy season last year. This year they're kind of a, you know, this is a rich program. Not that long ago they were in the national championship. Who knows what happens in just a crowded Big Ten. And I actually think Notre Dame, Mike Bray's got a talented team. He's looking at this upcoming year in the ACC that could be a sleeper. So check out the College Basketball Experience feed where we talk college basketball year round over there, and make sure you check out the College Football Experience where we talk, you know, football year round here. So check out both, and you'll get all of our picks for free. Like I said, me, Patty C, NC Nick, Terrell Furman, all of it is via the SGPN app, which you can download for free in the App Store or Google Play Store. You won't only get our picks, you'll get our podcast, you'll get our articles. Terrell Furman Jr. writes a lot of great articles over at sportsgamblingpodcast.com. You'll get all of that for free. Okay, so download that app and give us a 5-star review. And when you do that, give us take a screenshot of that review. Find me on Twitter at @TheColbyD. Show me that review essentially. And I will send you a College Experience t-shirt. That's at @TheColbyD on Twitter. Terrell Furman Jr. is on Twitter at @ReallRell__. Give him a follow. Patty C, who's not on this episode, but co-host that's normally rocking with us, he's on Twitter at @PattyC831. NC Nick's on Twitter at @NC_NICK. The College Football Experience, new to Twitter and Instagram, at TCE on SGPN. And the Sports Gambling Podcast Network on Twitter at @TheSGPNetwork. Give them all a follow. And yeah, check out the Slack channel too, Sports Gambling Podcast. That's a lot of fun. All right, folks, this is the College Football Experience, Wisconsin Notre Dame style. We're split here. You got to pick for yourself. All right, you better start thinking about yours, and we out of here.